There is a story in the Old Testament that I would like to share. If you can open up to 2 Kings chapter 4. And before you go there, put a finger there as well. And open also at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. The title of the message that I would like to share today, it's Once Dead, But Now Alive. Once Dead, But Now Alive. The first passage will be Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And then the second passage will be 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, And you were made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit whom now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. It is a powerful passage of the Word of God, and the Bible reminds us here that once we were lost, once we were dead in sin, once we were walking according to the flesh, once we were walking according to our mind, whatever what came to our mind, we just did it. There was no boundaries, there was no the fear of the Lord, there was no guidance from God. But a moment came, and God, in verse 4 it says, But God came and gave us hope. But God had came and died on a cross and gave us hope, so we don't walk like that anymore. It renews our mind, he cleanses us, and he gives us a new direction. Praise the Lord. And he reminds us that it's not by works we are saved. It's not by good deeds we are saved. It's not how good we can perform we are saved. But he says it's by the grace of God, so nobody can boast. But later on he says that we are called to do good works. Good works is something that a Christian life, a Christian person should have. It's not that we're saved through those good works, it's a result, and it's something that follows us. And the Bible says when people look around, they will see our good works, they will glorify God. When they will see the love that we have among each other, they will glorify God. So works are really important in a Christian walk, really important. Some people say works, forget it. We're saved by grace, and how Brother L likes to say, it's not how high you jump on Sunday, how straight you walk on Monday. It's Brother L's quote, you know? So works are important. It's the fruit that comes from the faith that we have in God. Amen. And we are to know that it's not that we're pleasing God through that, but it's something that just comes naturally. It's just something that we just walk, and all of a sudden we look behind, and we can say, well done. And it's not because of me, but because I allow the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, to bring life and to release life through my life. Praise God. And there is a story in the Old Testament that is written in 2 Kings chapter 4. If you can open up with me there. Verses 32 to 35 says, When Elijah came into that house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went and therefore shut the doors behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and laid on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Verse 35. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on a child, on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And it's one of those stories that I said that sometimes you read and you're like, what is that supposed to mean? right? And if we can read this to non-believers, they're going to think we're crazy or something. But there's a powerful story when we spend some time in the Word of God and when we understand the power of the cross. And we began to understand what Jesus did on the cross. When we began to understand when where once we were and now where we at, and it's by the grace of God. This story can be opened in a new way. It's not because we kind of see it, but because the Holy Spirit speaks to us and opens up to us the mysteries of the Word of God. Before I go on with this few verses, I would like to share a little bit what happened before this story. There was a woman, and the Bible calls her Shunammite woman. And her husband was old and they couldn't have children. They were working, they were doing their own thing. And there came a moment in their life when Elijah came and he spoke a prophetic word into her life. And he said that you will have a child about this time next year. And almost was impossible for her to have children, maybe. She thought, my husband is old, maybe I'm old. The circumstances are not there yet. Maybe I missed my mark. But it came a moment when she grabbed the hold of that prophecy. When she began, she grabbed the hold of that word that came from the Lord. And the Bible was fulfilled. How joyful she was. A child is born. And we all know me and my wife, we're expecting a little daughter. And it's almost something for the future, the life, the promise of God that came into our life. And it's not, you know, when we live and we die, this is kind of the end. But when you have a generation after you, your last name at least goes forward. You know what I mean? So it's something to look forward. It's something, it's a hope. It's something that parents work for. I look at my brothers, I look at my parents who have 13 kids. They had 13 kids, they still have. And all their lives, maybe before they had kids, they lived in a sense for themselves. But when they began to have kid after kid, everything became about us. I remember when we were little kids, if, you know, it was hard to grab, to have candy or gum. I remember we'd go to school and we'd find this gum on a street or, you know, somebody put under the desk. I don't know how many people probably chewed that gum, but that was like, wow, it's like gold. We would put in the sugar, we'll wash it, put in the sugar and we would chew it because we lived poor. My parents, if they had gum, if they went to the city and they bought a piece of candy, or somebody had given them a piece of candy, if there was 8 people in the house, they would cut that candy in 8 pieces and they would give to every single one, but they would not eat it. All their life became about kids. Growing them, teaching them in the fear of the Lord, teaching them to love God. But yet, in these people, in this story, it was something similar. That promise that was promised to them was there. And they were excited. The future. The hope that we have. Finally it arrived. God did not forgotten us. But it comes a moment. The Bible says that this child began to grow. And his head began to hurt. And the Bible says he passed away. So many times we look at the promises of God in our life. And yet they're so alive in one moment. And a different moment we feel that they're so dead. It's almost like they were not there. I was talking to one of my friends, one of the students here at Summit the other day. I asked him to share this. I'm not going to say who, but I asked permission to share this. And he shared something to me that kind of goes with this message. He said, Pavel, I came to this school to have freedom in my life. And it seems like one day I do, but then the other day I don't. And he says, like, what's the point of even trying? I just want to quit. I just want to just go and do my own thing. But yet, when God comes and makes us free, we're free indeed. Amen. Amen. It might come a day that you feel that you're strong. It might come a day that you feel that you're weak. But God does not change. God is still faithful yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same. And in this moment, in this story, these emotions again gripped this woman's heart. But she was a strong woman. Because the Bible says when she came to Elijah to tell her this news, and when Elijah heard, is everything well with you? And what did she say? No, you're a liar. He didn't say that. She didn't say that. The first thing she said, yes, everything is well. But then the Bible says she grabbed on his legs and she began to weep. She began to pour out her sorrow, her confusion, what she's going through. And the man of God says that this woman has pain and I didn't even know it. Sometimes we can pretend that everything is fine in our life. Sometimes we can go and we can just show everybody that everything is good, especially in our culture, a smiling culture. But deep inside of our hearts, there can be confusion, pain. It can be questions that we have in our hearts that we ask God to give us something and yet He gave us, and the next moment we feel like all hope is gone. But the Bible says that Elijah, he came into her house. He came into her house. He came into that room where that child was. And he shut the door and he began to pray. It's a story that touches my heart. It's a story that touches my mind. It's a story that speaks volume into my life. How are we dealing with things when they don't go our way? How are we dealing with things when situations happen in our life unexpectedly? What do we do? Do we run into those rooms and we shut the door? Or we put our hands down or we give up? It doesn't say that this woman brought a child to Elijah, but it says that Elijah went to this child. And I just want to come from another corner to this story and suggest maybe that this child that once was alive and now is dead is a type of us as people. And Elijah being is a type of Christ. That Christ came to us yet when we are dead in sin. When we are far away, when we are walking according to our flesh. Christ came and met us where we were. In that prison where you were at, Christ came and met us. As again I'm reminded of Brother Al's story. When he was in a crack house and he was doing drugs, somebody just showed up at the door and called him by name. He said, Al, come out. And brought him out of there. It was a supernatural thing that happened. And knowing the story, I heard the story many times. He didn't even know this man. But God sent somebody there. When we're walking in our own despair, when we're walking in our own failures, it's God who comes and meets us. In those moments when we think that we're alone and nobody's there, and we may even hide and do something that we're not supposed to do, and we think that nobody sees us, God sees us. And He's there. And the first thing He wants to tell you, that He has compassion over your life. That there is freedom in your life. You don't have to be bound by the chains of the enemy. But there can be something that can satisfy you, and this is God. Amen. And it's something strange that happened in the story. Elijah, the Bible says that laid upon this child. His eyes were towards the child's eyes, his hands, his mouth. And I began to think about the story. Why it has to be so detailed why Elijah did? Why can't it be just Elijah went to the room, prayed and went out and the child was revived and he was jumping all over again and there was life in the child? Why the Bible is so detailed? But when we look deeper in the story, this is a perfect example of the power of the cross. What Jesus did on the cross while we were dead in sin. And I would like to suggest to all of us today that the first thing that Elijah did is put his mouth on his mouth. And he brought the memory of back in the day when God created man and a woman. And when we formed this man from this clay. And there was no life in this image. And God maybe stooped down. He says he breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. And life came. Again, I couldn't think elsewhere. It's something that God breathed life and the enemy came and took it away. But only for a season because God had a plan for us, for me and for you. So we can live. Amen. The second thing what happened in the story is he put his eyes towards his eyes. When God touches our eyes, we begin to see the way He sees. And we all know in the New Testament, there is a story in Mark chapter 8 verses 22 to 26 about the blind man. When Jesus took the blind man and touched him the first time. And the Bible says that this man began to see people as trees walking. Sometimes we see people as objects. I'm guilty of that. I'll be lying to you if I'll tell you, listen, I see people like, I don't know, like God sees them. Sometimes I struggle to do that. Especially when they're getting on my nerves. It's tough sometimes. Sometimes we look at them and say, you don't deserve this. Sometimes we can point fingers and we can say, you know what? You're so and so and so. You're this and that. But God doesn't look at people like that. He wants to touch us. And God is open with us. He asks questions. He asks a question to this young man. What do you see? Or elderly man. The Bible doesn't say how old he was. But what do you see? And this man was honest. He didn't say, God, I was blind. I couldn't see nothing. But now I see people. He tried to make up stories. He didn't see that. He was real. I was blind. I couldn't see anything. But now I see people. But they're walking like trees. I can see clearly. And the Bible says that Jesus touched him the second time. And he began to see people the way Jesus saw people. He began to see people with the same vision that Jesus saw people. He did not look at people as objects anymore, as trees or something that is just there. But he began to see people the way God sees them. And so many times in our life when we see people as objects, we see people as moving trees and nothing more, no value in them. I would like to encourage all of us together to be honest with God and to tell Him, God, I feel this way. I need more love in my heart towards people. I need more compassion. I want to see people the way you see it. Give me a heart for people. But now be ready, because when we ask those kind of prayers, God will send us to the people, and we have to go. Some people, they just want to see what God sees, but then when God says, now go and reach out to them, we don't want to go. I'll be honest, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was in my prayer closet and I was just praying and thinking about some of the things in my life. And you know what? I'm really comfortable here at Summit. Everything's been provided for us. It's a blessing from God. And sometimes you think that this is about it. And sometimes we're even scared to pray bigger prayers. It's almost like I'm untouchable. I'm fine. God, we thank you. When I began to pray, I said, God, I'll be honest with you, I'm even scared to pray this prayer. I'm afraid to pray this prayer. And I began to just spend time with God. And it came a moment and I said, God, if this is Summit, show me. If this is Summit, then it is Summit. But if it's something else, don't allow me to be so blinded. Don't allow me to be so caught up with this and to hold to this and to see nothing else. Show to me. It's comfortable. It's hard sometimes to leave the comfortable zone. But I was scared to pray that prayer. It was fear in me. What if tomorrow God says, okay, oh, it's done. You move to, I don't know where, Africa, Mexico, Ukraine, Russia, I don't know. What if that happens? My knee's probably going to go like that. We want to be so bold and be like, yeah, we're missionary, we're Christians. But sometimes when God comes and challenges us, it's a little different story. But God wants to touch our eyes so we can see it. And we can be ready. God, whatever it is, if it's here, it's here. If it's somewhere else, give me the courage to stand and to know that you have called me to that. I'm not talking about emotions, to have some ideas. Some people ask me, Pavel, you have so many opportunities and invitations to go and do this or that. Why did you choose to be at Summit and do construction? You can do construction outside Summit and make so much money. But you know what? I'm in peace. I have peace in my heart. And when God calls you to something, you have peace. It has to be there. It's the assurance that God leads you. And if God will call me to something else, if there will be peace, hey, I'm open. Will it be hard? Maybe. I don't know. But I'm open. And this is how we should live our life. Sometimes we're scared to pray those kind of prayers because it will rock our boat. But when God touches our eyes to see the way He sees, will require change in our life. And we have to respond to that. Praise God. The third thing that happened, he stretched his hands on this child. And I want to suggest that it's a picture of the cross. Jesus Christ came to this earth. And he stretched his hands on that cross, inviting all of us to come to him. Inviting all of us with all the issues, all the problems, all the deadness, all the things that we have in our life. He wants to invite us. And another thing, what I see here, if you would look from above on this picture, you would no longer see this dead child, but you will see Elijah covering him. This is the grace of God that comes in our life. And He covers us. Now God the Father, when He looks at us, when we were dead in sin, He doesn't see us, but He sees the cross. He sees His Son with open arms, laying on a cross, crying out for me and for you, it is finished. It is finished. And we can walk in that freedom. And we can walk and rejoice in the freedom. Why? Because He did it. We become part of that victory. But He was the one who fought the fight. He was the one who won the fight. He was the one who laid down His life for us. And the Bible says, will somebody lay His life for his friend? Maybe a good one. But He came and gave His life for us, sinners, bad people. Because He is good and He's merciful. Praise God. And the first thing that we see in this few passages of the Word of God, it says that Elijah began to walk in the house. He left the room and he began to walk in the house. And we can say, Elijah, what are you doing? You were just praying for the child. You were just interceding for this child. And now there is no results and you left the child and you went again and walking in the house. But it talks to me again that God never gives up on us. He says the fifth thing that happened is Elijah came back. And he did the same thing what he did the first time. And the Bible says that the child body became warm. And later on life came into his body. Why? Because Elijah never gave up on him. He didn't say, enough is enough. I don't have time for this. But he came and he gave everything what he had. Isn't it amazing when God starts to do something in our life? He doesn't do things halfway. He doesn't do things just a little bit just to tease us. He doesn't say, hey, my child, here is something for you, but never mind, I changed my mind. Well, I'll promise you freedom if you do this and this and that. Never mind, you're a little stubborn like Pavel is. God doesn't deal with us that way. The Bible says that who began a good work in us will what? Finish it. One more time. He who began a good work in us will finish it. This is the promise of God. And Elijah is a type of that. He did not give up on this child. He came back. And the Bible says that this child began to sneeze. And he sneezed 7 times. And we all know that the 7 times are completion. If we read the word of God, it's a completion of God. 7 times. God is not just making us a little bit of a human or a little bit of a Christian. He wants to complete us, everything that He has. He wants to give it to us. And that is complete work that He had paid on the cross for us to own and to have. He wants to do a complete work in us. Not just a little bit. Not just to tease us. He wants to do a complete work. And when that happens, the Bible says that this man, this young man, opened his eyes. And he began to see. And Elijah called his mom. And it was joy there. It was happiness there. The Bible doesn't talk much after it. Just a few verses talks about this. And then it goes to another story. But I don't think there was just kind of, well, he was dead and now he's kind of alive. Man, I have to deal with this kid again. It was not like that. I don't think it was like that. I think there was such a joy again into the house. I think it was such a hope that rose again into these parents' hearts. Listen, the promises of God that came, yet they looked dead for a season, but yet God is faithful because He brings things to completion because He's God. Amen. He doesn't do things halfway. He completes them because He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And He will carry us through. Praise the Lord. And I just would like to share one more passage from the Word of God that will bring this to conclusion. In the New Testament, sometimes we wish God can calm down and kind of touch us and we feel something. But God in the New Testament, He sent His Spirit and He lives within us. He lives in us. He guides us. And God can speak a word and mountains can move. God can speak a word and a life can be changed. God can speak a word. And things that are not created can be created. The way God deals is through the word of God. He speaks and things happen. Motions happen. So sometimes when we wait to feel some emotions or to for God to touch us physically or things like that, like in this story, Elijah came. God doesn't deal necessarily in the New Testament like that. He deals with the Holy Spirit. He wants to abide in us. And those who receive Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, who made their Lord, Him as a Lord and King, He is in us. He abides in us. The Holy Spirit came in that moment when we invited Him to come into our life. And He speaks into our life. And things happen into motion. Praise God. And there was a story that this word spoke to me when I was still a student. And I shared a few times this word already, and I was debating, should I share it or not? And the other night I had a dream two times. This is the first time. I had a dream two times about this word. And maybe it's something for you. And it's written in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, it says, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic, who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was laying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.'" Verse 6. "And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house, to this place.'" It's a powerful and unique story. And we can relate, some of us maybe, to this man. And I would like to suggest today that it was a struggle for this man to be in this bed. He was a paralytic. He couldn't move. He couldn't walk like everybody else. He needed help to maybe eat. He maybe needed help to be moved around. It always was everything about him because of his situation. And maybe this man waking up in the morning, looking at his bed and thinking, when will I have freedom? When will I have freedom to walk, to stand and just be like everybody else? And then the night came and he found himself still on that bed, not moving, crippled, and bound to this weakness that he had in his life. And maybe he was thinking, maybe if I meet Jesus, maybe if somebody will bring me to Jesus, I can have freedom. And it came a moment that finally they brought him to Jesus and the house was full of people. It was not even room for him to come in. And so many times we feel like that. We feel like somebody else is in front of us. Well, somebody else is there. They're being prayed over. It's not me. I'm still struggling with my own thing in my own life. I still wake up in the morning and I want a freedom from this bed. I want a freedom from this struggle. I feel so empty. I want to be filled with God's Spirit. But yet when I come to church, when I come in my prayer closet, all of a sudden the mindset that I have, it's for somebody else. I don't have room for that. It's not for me. Maybe it just meant for me to be like that. But these people did not give up. They said, we're going to bring this man through the roof. We're going to break the roof. Can you imagine if somebody just comes and starts breaking the roof right here and just bring somebody down? But there was a story that happened like that. Why? Because there was such a desperation. It was such a hunger in their hearts. It was not even probably in this man's life who was laying in that bed. But it was in those four people that brought him to Jesus. So many times we look at our family members and maybe some of them, they don't walk with the Lord. And we think, well, they don't have any faith. What can I do? But listen, your faith means a lot. Our prayers means a lot. It's this four men that brought this guy to Jesus. It was not this guy that came on limousine. It was not like that. It was this four man's faith that moved the roof. And this guy came down. And the first thing that we see in the story, Jesus looks at this man and says, son, your sins are forgiven you. And it's almost ironic. Jesus, he didn't come for forgiveness of sins. Are you okay? Look how many people are around you. He came to receive healing. Can't you tell? And all of a sudden, in people's hearts, people began to talk, who can forgive sin? Who can forgive sin? But it came a moment when Jesus understood what's more valuable. What's more important? For our sins to be forgiven or for us to jump from that bed and just walk like normal people? But first thing, what God deals with us is with our hearts. It's with our hearts. Because from the hearts, it's everything that comes out. It's from the heart. And he looks at this man and he says, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you. Brothers and sisters, sometimes when we look in our own life and we feel like we're dead, like this child, we feel like there is no hope for us. This is those moments when Jesus comes and does miracles. I looked on YouTube a story, a video went viral. Somebody caught a fish. And they cut the head of the fish. And probably like for 5 or 7 minutes, they were trying to cut or to peel the skin and to work with this fish. And this fish was still alive. If you don't believe me, go search it. The nerves in this fish were still alive and the fish was still moving. The head was already off. And this woman in the kitchen table, she was trying to peel and this fish is just going everywhere. And she stopped, she got scared. And for like 5 minutes, this is going on till the moment came. With this fish, couldn't have any more strength to fight. Couldn't have no more strength to resist the master that was there to work on that fish. And this is when all things were done. This woman began to work on that fish and began to do what she wanted to do with this fish. So many times in our life, I think it's similar to that. We can pretend that we're dead. We can say, well, I think I'm dead. But I'm still kicking. I'm still doing my own thing. I still want to do what I want to do. I don't like God to be in your hands because it hurts sometimes. Even though we're asking God, God, put your hand on my life, lead me. But when He does that, we say, oh, it hurts. And it does sometimes. But it's for our own good. But to be honest with you, it's harder for God to work on us when we kick it and He waits. It's like this fish, you know? Without head, we think it's dead, but it's not. As soon as you touch it, oh man, it can show off. And sometimes God wants us to just give it all. Give up. And we think this is the moment, if we truly give up, this is the moment we're going to lose and it's going to be lost. No. This is the moment when God comes and speaks life into our life. And He resurrects us again. And He resurrects us from that struggle that we are in. And the same thing it was in this young man or old man's heart that was brought to Jesus through the roof. God looked at his heart and he saw the pain. The first thing he needs salvation. This is the first thing he needs to hear. That his heart, he is well with me. And people began to judge him. People began to talk. Who can forgive? But Jesus Christ can. Jesus Christ can. And sometimes we don't have freedom from that bed. He did not immediately stop jumping and walking around. He was still in that bed. He was still in that struggle. But God began to deal with his heart. So many times we see things in our life and we just want God to come and just free us and for us to just jump and be free and be rejoiceful. And sometimes that happens. But sometimes it doesn't happen. And in those moments when that doesn't happen, He begins to speak to our heart. He begins to mold us. He begins to create something in our heart. He works. He assures us that we're forgiven. Pavel, you're forgiven. Pavel, you're forgiven. You have to understand that. And yet we might go ups and downs. This is when God is working with us. And then He says, but I have the authority to forgive. And not only to forgive, but I have the authority to say, now rise up and walk. Jesus doesn't have the authority just to forgive, but He also has the authority to free us. And for us to be able to walk. And one thing that is really unique in this story that it just speaks volume to me. Jesus tells them, now pick up this shovel and walk. Pick up this bed and walk. And sometimes you almost think, God, if you forgive me, why, if you free me, why do I need this? So you can imagine this guy picking up this bed, maybe folding, everybody's watching, and he's putting on his shoulder maybe, and he's just walking. He's going to the city and everybody's like, yo, what are you doing? It's probably 12 o'clock in the day. What are you doing? This bed should be home. Oh, no, 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 no. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus did in my life. What did he do? He healed me. He not only healed me, he freed me. Not only freed me, but this became a testimony that I can do in my life. This struggle crippled me for years. I was going, I was waking up in the morning. It was there. I was going to sleep. It was there. I didn't have freedom in my life. But now it became the really weapon that I can come against the enemy and declare the faithfulness of God because he freed me. And not only freed me, but he forgave me. And I can walk now. And I declare his faithfulness and his healing power and his freedom in my life. Praise God. The things that we've been through, for some reason God allowed us to go through. And it's for a reason. Things that we go through, it can break us or it can make us stronger. Think about it. The things that we're going through in our own life, the struggles that we go in our own life, it can break us when we lose hope in Christ, or it can make us stronger for us to rise up and say, God, you are faithful. You're going to do what only you can do. You're going to rise me up. You're going to come and breathe life into my nostrils again. Because once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was dead, but now I'm alive. Once I was crippled in this bed, but now I'm walking the power of the Almighty God. Amen. This is the power of the gospel. This is hope. Maybe you feel like you've been dead. Maybe you feel like you were alive. You were passionate like this student I was talking to. I feel one day I'm passionate. I'm on the top of the mountain. The other day I just feel like I'm in a valley. What's the point of doing this? I want to quit. And as I said, situations like that can break us or make us stronger. And I pray today that the Holy Spirit can give us strength. The Holy Spirit can give us power in our hearts to understand and to know that God, I'm not going to lose this battle because I'm not alone. You fought for me and I believe in you and I'm going to walk with you. And if you're speaking this moment to me that you're forgiven, I'm going to grab to that. Because I know the next thing what is going to come out of your mouth, you are free. Get up and walk. And not only walk, but take this bed, take this struggle and go help others. Tell others about it. When you're being asked, share what God did in your life. And God can bring freedom in their life as well. Once I was dead, but now I'm alive. Once I was in this bed of struggle, but now I can walk. Once I was a sinner, but now I am forgiven. Once I was sick, but now I am healed. Why? Because of the power of the cross. Jesus did it all. I just have to come into agreement with what he did on the cross. Amen. May God bless you guys. And I would like for you to stand with me this morning. Oh, that's Pastor Tim. He's the pastor of the church. He knows what to do next. Oh, that's to... If you feel like you're dead, maybe you feel like you were alive. Maybe you feel like there was moments in your life that you walked and you were strong, but yet it came moments in your life that you feel like you're a failure. And the enemy comes and tells you, you're dead. You're no good for nothing. There's no more life in your life. God can breathe life into your nostrils. God can bring life into your life again. And you can walk in victory. You can walk rejoicing who God is. Amen. And the second altar call, the second part of the altar call, I would like to invite you. If you feel like you're in this bed, and if you feel like Jesus spoke to your heart already, you're forgiven. You're forgiven and you have a grip on that word that God has spoken, but yet you find yourself struggling with things in your life. And you want the second thing to come out of God's mouth, says, now get up and walk. Get up and walk. And not only walk, but take that struggle in your hands and let it be a testimony. So if this is you, that you fall into these two categories and you know your heart, you know your life best, I would like for you to come just to the front. We'll pray together. I'm not going to, you know, make this emotional or anything. Just come. If this word spoke to you, that if you feel dead, then you feel like you're in struggle in this bed, then you need for deliverance and forgiveness from God. Come.
come before you today. And we're just grateful for who you are. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that you came to our own tombs and you brought life in it. You brought freedom. We were dead in sin. You died on a cross to resurrect us. What an amazing truth this is, that you have loved us, came on this earth and died so we can resurrect and live with you forever, forever and ever and ever. Lord, help us not to get caught up with this earthly life so much that we lose the focus, but help us to live a life that we're going to think eternity with you. It will compel us to reach out to others, to see other people the way you see, oh God. Touch us again. Open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, oh God. Lord, I'm asking you to stir our hearts again. Even we as a Bible school. God, I'm asking you to just put such a fight in us, not to just graduate and to do our own old things, but put a fight in us to go and reach out to the nations. God, it's a reason you allowed us to come for 2 years here. It's a reason you allowed us to pour out your Spirit in us through your Word. It's a reason you have taught us the truth. Help us to pour into others. Help us to see others, oh God. Help us not to be selfish, but help us to give. Help us to give, oh God. Lord, you see the people that are here in front and maybe some in the congregation here. You see the cry that they have in their hearts. God, I'm asking you to hear their prayer. To have mercy upon them, to come, forgive them, comfort them, lift them up, O Lord. Free them from that bad that besets them so many days, so many years and months. God, I'm asking you, let this day be a day when you talk to them and you tell them, get up and walk, enough is enough. Let them pick up the struggle and hold it as a sword of a testimony, what you have done in their lives. So many people can come to your knowledge of goodness and love, of forgiveness. Because of us, because of the testimony that you do in our lives. Lord, I'm asking you to heal the pain, the confusion that is there, sometimes the hopelessness. Lord, come and exchange it for hope in you. Jesus, you see those that are crying out and they feel like they're dead. They have no more strength to go forward. This is the moment when you want to breathe life again and hope and a vision. Because your word says, without a vision for above, people perish. Give us a vision, oh God, again. Give us a vision again, oh Lord. So we can go forward and not backwards. So we can go forward and not stand. So we can go forward, move in the Spirit. Move by your word, oh God. Help us to be like Peter, that will walk on the water when you call us, oh God. And sometimes we're afraid to pray those prayers, oh Lord. Because it requires a selfish life. It requires a life that is fully given to you, O Lord. But today we humble ourselves and we come to you. And we tell you, O God, we say to you, call us, O Lord. And give us the strength to fulfill that calling that you have upon our life. Or it's for a reason that you have come and died on a cross. For us to live. Not for ourselves, but for you. Lord, I thank you for this service. I thank you that you have touched us. I thank you for your word that speaks to us. All the glory and the honor be to you, O Lord. Because you deserve, you're the Alpha and the Omega. You are the one that comes and does a work in our life. And you don't stop. You don't do a half-finished job, O Lord. But you complete it. You complete the work that you have started to do in our life. And we want to say thank you for that. That there is hope. That we can look forward. It's a good day to be alive. It's a good day when everybody tells it it's a bad society, bad day to be alive. It's a good day for the Church of Jesus Christ to be alive in the midst of darkness, so we can shine the light of hope again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we will move by your Spirit. Not in our own strength, oh God. Give us the courage to stand for what is right. Give us the courage to be moved by you, oh Lord. Give us the courage, oh Lord. We don't know what tomorrow is going to happen, oh Lord, but help us. Help us never to give up. Never to give up on you, oh Lord, but always to go forward with you, knowing that you're with us. And no matter what, being absent from the body, it's being in your presence right away, oh God. Give us the courage to stand for our beliefs, oh God, today. Give us the fight to fight for our faith, oh Jesus. Oh, help us to do all this in love and kindness. Thank you, Jesus. We can hope in you because you're alive and your promises are yes and amen. We're grateful, oh God. We're grateful for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. We praise you, God.